Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Nathan Swift.
Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Yes.
Stephanie Azawala, Assistant News Editor.
Jake Rich, Managing Editor.
Cody Nguyen, Assistant Sports Editor.
And Vincent Ta, Photo Editor.
Hey guys, welcome to the newsroom. How's it going?
Hey, it's good.
Hey. Pretty good.
So Vincent and Cody, this is your first time here, right?
Yep,
and we're sharing the mic.
How does it feel?
Awkward, having to lean in
okay.
And out constantly.
Yeah, I'm glad no one's seeing us lean into the mic.
What you don't actually know is that KUCR has a visual simulcast that is actually broadcasting right now as we're recording the show.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hope they see this then.
I think I'm going to leave the room.
Okay, well, it's locked, so you'll have to get through a locked door.
Am I being detained?
You are. Okay, now that you know that KUCR is actually a secret torture chamber, we're going to go ahead and get started.
We're not trapped here.
Don't help us. We're fine. We're totally fine, guys. Save us. This week, it's week three now for UCR, so we're going to talk a little bit about how we can, like, survive the midterm onslaught.
That's the general opinion on midterms.
I am uninformed.
Uninformed about midterms.
About your own midterms?
Oh, he's a creative
That's
writing major,
good.
So those don't exist.
Oh.
Oh, go Dino Hole.
Oh, that hurt.
Oh, well.
Get out.
It doesn't hurt because you don't have midterms, so it's okay.
Yeah, get out of this room. Well, wait, no, it's locked, but get out of this room anyway.
That was also kind of my impression of Tina from Bob's Burgers, but, you know, yeah, it's both. It's how I feel.
So when are your guys' first midterms? Are you eagerly awaiting them?
I actually just had one today, and it was my math. It was a calculus class, and it was not as hard as I thought it would be. But I mean, I still studied a lot for it, like a good student. And I hope all you listening out there will also study hard, like great students at this great university.
Wasn't it also 50 multiple choice questions?
50 multiple choice questions.
In a calculus midterm, which is unheard of.
In a calculus midterm, shout out to Dr. Owen Baker if you're listening.
How long was the midterm?
50 questions.
50 questions, about 50 minutes.
Oh. 1 minute a question?
Yeah, not too bad.
For calculus?
For calculus, yeah.
I would die, pretty much.
Of happiness.
No, I don't. What? I've never taken any form of calculus ever, so...
All I know of calculus, I took calculus in high school, but all I remember of it is enough to make the calculus jokes about, like, sines and cosines and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, you know what? There's actually no trig in my calculus class either, so
oh,
I wouldn't
well,
be
then.
Able to I wouldn't be able to relate to you on that one.
Well, let me tear up all the calculus jokes I had written down on my piece of paper now. Thanks, Cody. What about everybody else?
I don't actually know when any of my midterms are. I've been waiting in class for my professors to announce, but they haven't been announcing them. And I'm too lazy to check the syllabus. And I'm just hoping that if I fail them, the professors have some kind of a redemption system. Usually professors do have. Like, if you get an A on the final, he'll replace your grade on the midterm. So I'm banking on that.
Well, bring them cookies.
For me, I actually have a midterm, you know, despite being a creative writing major.
Essays.
No, ethnic studies course. Yeah, I believe it's next week. And, you know, like, every week we've had, like, 40, 50, 60 pages of assigned reading. So, you know, all those jokes about, you know, creative writing majors just writing, like, a 10-sentence poem and you get an A+. It's not true. We have to do...
It is true, but you also have to do other stuff.
Well, okay.
So you also
maybe.
Have breath requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sometimes we have to, like, work hard.
I'm an English major, so I sympathize.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I like how we're talking about, like, the creative writing major as if it's some sort of exotic species in the zoo.
No.
Like, observe the creative writing major in his natural habitat without a midterm, just as his breath requirements, which...
it really is, though, because Estefania was telling me that one of her classes had 5 students in it. A 3-hour lecture.
Oh, that
5
one.
Students, which is...
Yeah. Which course?
Unheard of. Insane.
It was an honors creative writing course.
Honors creative writing.
With I'm totally forgetting her name, but it's Dr. Weiner's wife.
Oh,
Upper Div,
Pocahontas. No, seriously,
yeah, she
I'm
was
not
in a
joking.
Disney movie. She's like
She's
the most
the model.
Beautiful person I've ever seen.
Oh, wow, I feel bad. I can't
it
remember.
It was
the name
horrible
right
being in a room with her
oh,
with so
her
little
name
people.
Was
No. Anyways,
study for your midterms.
As a lot of the humanities majors, I'm media and culture studies in English, we have to write essays instead. And while it's not quite the same as a midterm, it also kind of is not fun. And I also have Spanish to do for actual tests for that, and that is really not fun.
So what are all your secret survival tips for midterms that have been honed throughout the generations and passed down from ancient midterm masters?
I got one that I think doesn't usually, well, maybe it does sound conventional, but I think it's often overlooked, is to take a break from studying, because you can cram if you want to the night before, but you're probably not going to pass, and you're probably going to like sleep through the entire next day and miss everything else. Manage your sanity.
So mine is that I brew a pot of coffee and then I drink it and then I get really mad and then I get really tired, so I take a nap and then I wake up and then I do stuff. So I'm not saying that it's the best way, but I think it clearly is.
This sounds remarkably productive.
It really is. Not
how much time does that take?
It should, I think, for health reasons.
Charmaine Craig.
It should take, yeah, Charmaine Craig.
That's her name.
For health reasons, it should take a long time, but it really doesn't. So...
interesting.
And badly.
Don't be afraid to get help either. I mean, there are a lot of great resources out there. I mean, you got your professor, TA's office hours, the Academic Resource Center that not many people seem to know about.
Don't feel ashamed to go to that.
Yeah. And they have tutoring over there for like the harder classes like math, computer science, things like that. I mean,
Spanish 3.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at how many resources there are out there.
Yeah, and even if you're incredibly lazy, they actually have an academic resource center in Glenmore, too. So if you are...
What don't they have over there?
Yep. Unicorns and candy corn
shrimp. How do you
know?
Yeah, do you
have
know?
Starbucks?
I just haven't seen them yet.
It's
maybe
resort,
they're...
A grocery store.
So, we'll devote the rest of the show to talking about how Glenmore, 2 is amazing. But in the meantime, so kind of got take breaks, drink a pot of coffee... Take advantage of the resources that you have, teachers, professors, academic resource center. There's a lot of stuff on campus. And most importantly, don't stress so much over it. Because while a certain amount of stress is good and it helps you focus, if you stress too much, then scientifically proven, yeah, you will die, basically. scientifically proven that death results. So don't die. Don't stress out too much. But take advantage of the opportunities that you have and... good luck, everybody, on midterms.
Mm. As you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome.
I don't know when my midterms are either. We'll see how
Yay
things go.
Planning.
So down the road, down University Avenue, down quite a ways of University Avenue, is back to the grind.
A couple miles.
Only a few miles.
Yeah.
It'll probably take you like a couple hours walking.
I thought it'd be at least like 1 mile, because I've walked down there before.
It's probably like 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah. Really? It seems shorter to me.
Oh, who knows?
Okay. Nathan just has very, very long legs.
Mm-hmm. He is the tallest one in the room.
He is the tallest one in the room.
6 foot.
Yeah. So Back to the Grind is a coffee shop in downtown Riverside. It's a plays host to some open mic nights, a few bands from now and again. Last year when they do the Saturation Fest in downtown Riverside every year, that's a prime location for a lot of artists and people who want to experience what Riverside has to offer for them to hang out. And recently it started a GoFundMe campaign, which is like Kickstarter but has a different name. and they're trying to raise $30,000 to be able to renovate the building to be legally allowed to continue operating. And if they don't have that 30K, then they stop being able to be open. So far they've raised just under 9,000, but I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about what everybody here thought about Back to the Grind. I know, Jake, you've been quite a few times.
Well, you know, even though I, you know, you would think from the editorial I wrote that I had been like a million times, I actually have probably been... 5-ish times. But even from that, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how much people realize it, but it's kind of a unique place downtown, or at least part of a really kind of a cultural like heart, because if you've ever been there, you walk in and immediately it's like, this isn't Starbucks. This is something different. Like, you know, there are tall, very, very tall walls with gigantic bookshelves. There is an upstairs. There's always, well, there's music playing everywhere, but I mean, you know what I mean? And it's kind of just like a place where you feel like you could just kind of hang out and talk with, even like you feel like you'd be comfortable around strangers there. Like you'd be comfortable around someone talking about, you know, their problems that might not be the same as yours, but you can both relate. Yeah. It's a good study spot too.
I mean, there's $9,000 that have been raised so far. So quite a few people have felt that it's important to save. Why do we all think that is?
I think it's important because it's pretty much what Jake said. It's a very important cultural and artistic center, or at least a huge part of that center. And for me personally, I'm similar, you know, in regards to Jake, where I've only been there a handful of times, but I covered a Saturation Fest last year in the spring, and our last A&E editor, Rebecca, covered it as well. She covered it on her own. I covered it with two other people, and that was a little hectic to do, but you know, it went on for the Saturation Fest went on for 3, 4, or 5 days, I think, and you know, just all these different people, you know, these different bands came around from like California and all over like the West Coast, and you know, all these artists and all these like self-published, you know, authors were there, and you know, they, you know, just got together and created, you know, this common ground artistically and culturally speaking that, you know, Riverside like really needs, you know, because like when I first, you know, started going here to UCR, I was one of those, you know, in a way cynical people, you know, who was all like, oh, you know, UCR, Riverside doesn't have anything to offer, but you know, back to the grind. And, you know, the Blood Orange, like, info shop, and, like, they definitely have things to offer. They definitely have entertainment and artistic experiences that are you simply have to discover.
And it's not just, like, arts there, too. You can say, like, there's stuff for, like, I mean, it's inherently kind of a what you might call artsy-fartsy type deal at some of these places, but, like, people that do, like, you know, sciences stuff are allowed to you know, do stuff and speak.
They're
there.
Allowed.
Yeah. Well, not that sounds.
You have
that
to
sounds,
have an identification card, but
that sounds like it's saying it in a, like a secondhand way. But I mean it in the way that, you know, it's a community place where anybody, not just the arts type people who it tends to attract, can go and talk about things and discuss their issues.
Yeah.
Also, they have food. They have food, bagels,
it's a coffee shop, so they have coffee.
And great smoothies.
Yes.
Vegan pastries.
I can vouch for those smoothies. I've only had smoothies there, and they're pretty good smoothies.
Should it be like back to the grinder? Back to the blender. Back to the blender.
Yeah.
So I mean, Back to the Grind is obviously like one of like a few places in downtown Riverside. Does anybody like when people go downtown, like the one place that I always like to go, there's a place called Dragon Marsh. And it's like a place with all sorts of like random knick-knacky stuff, and there's like tea
bags.
Oh
yeah, there's
and
like
stuff
wizard
like
stuff in there.
Yeah,
it's a witchcraft store.
kind of, sort of.
Colin's
yeah.
A witch.
You do magic, Colin.
Burn me.
We don't condone witchcraft.
We don't condone witchcraft. That's right. But it's not just that. They've also got just a bunch of interesting little knick-knacky type things. There was once I'm a personally big fan of maps. They had a big giant like map that was made out of different colored rocks. So like each country in the world was a different color of gem. It was really expensive. I didn't buy it because it's like more money than I will ever make in a lifetime. But I looked at it. And looking at it was very nice. So it's like one of the places that I just like to go to like window shop and see what's kind of there. It's definitely a very unique offering.
So my problem, well, what I would suggest is that too many people go there to window shop.
Yeah.
And they actually don't get a lot of money from the students. Because every time I go there, I'm like, oh, everything here is so cool. And then I don't buy anything. And then I go to like a chain coffee place and get coffee. So maybe Riverside just, like, we should preserve these architectural places, and they're really great for the culture, but people actually need to start buying stuff there.
I like showing people the obscene amount of statues we have on that main street. We have like 4 or 5, don't we?
Yeah, Gandhi's there.
Gandhi,
Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, I think.
Yeah,
there's just like some woman. They don't really have a good statue theme going. Like it's just a bunch of random statues.
Just pop it down wherever it fits, and sooner or later we're just gonna have like a ton of statues on Main Street. That's what Riverside will be known for. Hopefully.
Statue side.
Yeah.
Will eventually turn into an episode of the episode of Doctor Who where the statues, like, you can't
Don't blink.
Don't blink.
Angels?
Yeah, yes. Where they, like, you look away from them and they move and, like, steal your soul.
Oh, yeah.
I look forward to that.
You, Doctor Who.
Are you secretly behind these statues, Estefania?
Yes. You've uncovered the conspiracy.
I told you we don't condone witchcraft.
Too bad.
Too bad it has begun.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're buying something from a place in Riverside, the money is staying in Riverside, and you're helping to enrich, therefore, like, allow people or businesses in Riverside to do more things for the city, which will bring more people there, and, you know, keep, you know, it's just kind of math the way it works, and if you keep doing that, you'll only be enriching your own city more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if anybody is interested in helping kickstart Back to the Grind or GoFundMe Back to the Grind, the website is GoFundMe.com/Back to the Grind. They're angling for 30,000, and so far they're about 1/3 of the way there, so not bad for being around for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been around for like a month, I think, or a little more, maybe 2 months, but yeah.
So please help them out.
Yeah.
Very nice. And another historic city, or another historic place in Riverside, is the Fox. Last week, there was a conference. They brought in people from all around the Inland Empire. They called it a TEDx conference. Is everybody familiar with, like, TED?
Mm-hmm.
You TED know? Talks.
Yeah, TED Talks. It's basically this thing where they get, like, people from around different, from a bunch of different areas of study and a bunch of different geographic locations. They give a short speech about something that they're studying or something that's important to them, and then they kind of, like, talk about it, and people listen and get inspired. And they had that at Riverside in the Fox Performing Arts Theater yesterday. And there were a lot of people from all over the Inland Empire. There were a couple of UCR alumni. It was... Who was it? Was Richard Schrock?
Steve Breen,
yeah.
And then the son of the founders of the Bournes College. I forgot his first name.
Gordon Bournes, yeah. And Steve Breen is a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winning comic artist, and Richard Schrock is a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry.
He showed us one of his older drawings, and he pointed out why this comic wasn't as good as it could be, and honestly, I thought it was great. and he's like, It was students burning.
Students burning the bookstore owner in effigy.
Yeah, and
to
he
protest
said, like,
high book prices.
That it was too obvious, and that he could have been like more subtle or more creative with the way he illustrated it. But it looked great. I think maybe that's why he's a Pulitzer Prize winning.
Was it one he made as a member of the Highlander?
It was.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our very own bookstore.
And our very own newspaper. he talked a lot about what he called it. He called it throwing spaghetti at the wall, where he'd take like a bunch of ideas, splat them out onto paper, and then kind of like look at them later and see which one was the best. He said like that when he first started, he had a very good conception of what he wanted the final product to look like, and if it didn't look like that, then it wasn't good. And what he learned later on was to come up with different ideas for how to convey this concept, and then as you're putting these all to paper, get feedback from other people, start looking at them more critically, and think to yourself, which one do I really like the most? He called it throwing spaghetti at the wall because it's like throwing something at the wall and seeing what sticks. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well, and it's something for anybody who I think does writing even or draws or anything else. That's certainly interesting advice to follow. And then plus he showed us a bunch of the comics, like there was a unicorn that was running into a guy tied up against a pole. Yeah, it was a unicorn execution. Death by a unicorn.
Execution?
Yeah, there was a guy tied up against a pole, and there was a unicorn that was running straight toward him with his horn pointed at his chest.
I wish I would have gone to that.
Yes, the unicorn was doing the execution. Apparently, his kids made him draw it.
Whoa.
Now we know what kind of kids Steve Breen has.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of other people there. Like, there was someone who was skilled in dance who had lived with cystic fibrosis all his life, and cystic fibrosis is a condition that causes mucus to build up in the lungs and basically means that you can't breathe. But he survived for 21 years without, or actually 25 years, without needing a lung transplant because he danced. Because the dancing actually broke up the mucus in his lungs. And so it wasn't just something that he loved to do, but it was something that ended up saving his life until he was able to get a lung transplant. So he talked a lot about, like, not giving up and being able to surpass challenges. And that was, like a common recurring theme throughout the entire thing. So if anybody's interested in taking a look, the article is online. It's certainly very interesting. It's a lot of food for thought. It's definitely something to take a look at. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to KUCR 88.3 FM, the people behind the paper.
Also streaming online at KUCR.org.
And we are about to talk about the most contentious, divisive issue since Republicans versus Democrats. We are about to talk about pumpkin spice. So the pumpkin spice stuff has already started making its way onto the market. I'm sure you could find it at Starbucks now. It's pumpkin spice everywhere. At Coffee Bean, it's pumpkin spice frappa whatevers. I'm not supposed to call them frappuccinos because that's Starbucks. It's pumpkin spice ice blendeds at Coffee Bean.
I'm sure they have them at Back to the Grind too. Haha, shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Back to the Grind. Pumpkin spice. Everything. So we are kind of divided on the issue of pumpkin spice three ways. There are some of us who are strongly supportive of pumpkin spice and believe that it has like God's right to exist. There are some of us who are strongly opposed to it, believe that it should go die in a hole. And there are others of us who have never had pumpkin spice lattes. And
Hi.
Hi, Jake. How does it feel to be one of the few people who have not succumbed to the pumpkin spice craze?
I feel slightly left out, but also kind of amused at watching people debate it because I have no stake in the issue. I like pumpkin pie a lot, though. So that's like one of my favorite pies. So
pie is good, but a lot of people would contend that pumpkin spice like coffee is better. Stephanie, are you one of them?
Yes. And first, pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin spice is a totally different thing.
Oh, whoa
so,
there.
Pumpkin spice Oreos, pumpkin spice Greek yogurt, pumpkin spice pancakes, pumpkin spice bread. It's everywhere. It's not necessarily
you stop because
in a latte.
You're making me nauseous.
I will continue just for that reason.
There are also pumpkin spice bagels, pumpkin spice Pop-Tarts, pumpkin spice cream cheese.
Pumpkin muffins. Oh my gosh. Pumpkin muffins are so good. I'm sorry.
You're on the boat. That's it. You just chose a side.
Well, I did?
How does it feel?
No.
How does it feel
it's
to be a traitor?
You haven't tasted it, so you
I
can't
was about
take
to say
a side.
Pie. Oh. What's the difference between?
What is the difference between pumpkin pie and pumpkin spice? Like, is there a difference?
Pumpkin pie has pumpkin spice in it. A pumpkin is like a flavorless gourd. It tastes like nothing. Pumpkin spice is a mixture of like cloves and cinnamon and nice things that you can put in basically anything.
Okay.
So wait, are you on my side or not? I can't tell.
I'm on your side because you like something that's pumpkin flavored, which is pumpkin spice. If you had like a real pumpkin muffin with nothing else in it, it would have tasted like plain bread.
Oh, okay.
/ garbage.
Well, pumpkin muffins are like super delicious. I would eat them all the time.
I think they have spice in them, so I think it makes them
okay.
So you're on my side.
I'm on your side.
So if I like pumpkin pie, where do I stand on pumpkin spice?
You probably
pumpkin
like pumpkin
pie and
spice.
Pumpkin spice are two very different things.
No, they're not. I just
one obviously
them for
tastes
you.
Very good. One obviously does not.
Nathan, for the rebuttal.
Give your case.
In the words of John Oliver, pumpkin spice tastes like candle, not like a candle. Candle.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't smell like it doesn't taste like the candle smells. It tastes like the candle tastes.
Like if you were to take a candle out of its glass case, or whatever, and take a bite out of it, that is close to the exact same thing as drinking pumpkin spice latte.
Well,
and I am judging everyone who likes the taste of candle very much.
I've never had a pumpkin spice anything before. And I don't think I've ever had pumpkin pie either.
What?
But after what you just said, I think I'm going to go get one later today. I want it.
Wait to rebut it, Nathan.
I hope it doesn't taste like candle.
I think the room has turned against you.
All right, I'll defend you, Nathan. I honestly think this pumpkin spice has gone too far. Like,
thank you.
It is enough. It used to be something that we looked forward to, but like pumpkin spice, it's actually around the entire year. Like,
Why is everybody
freaking out about pumpkin spice now? Why is Starbucks
Halloween? Why not?
Because
can we not be excited about things?
Starbucks only offers it during
Shame.
The fall season.
You
could make a pumpkin spice latte any day of the year you want, as long as you have the pumpkin spice syrup.
You could put a Christmas tree in your house any day of the year. The fact is the festivity. It's the sacredness of the pumpkin spice.
The sacredness of a commercialized Starbucks product.
Well, it's not necessarily Starbucks. Like, pumpkin spice
It started
Oreos.
With Starbucks. It's...
Well,
it
doesn't
start
matter.
With Starbucks.
Like,
and
me,
if it starts with Starbucks, it started in Germany.
So
if it starts with Starbucks,
American.
If it starts with Starbucks and ends with Oreos, I'd say it's been very commercialized.
Yeah, it is commercialized, and it's
make
a reason.
It any worse. Doesn't make it bad though.
No,
I'm not saying that like pumpkin
corporations
spice
are people too.
Is the most. I'm not saying pumpkin spice is like the most
this is
morally
who you've thrown
good
your lot
thing.
With.
I'm just saying that like it makes you happy and it tastes good. And, like, why do we have to go beyond that?
So does ecstasy. I don't know about tasting good, but...
Well, I understand what you said, Colin.
The opinions on the show belong only to their the speakers.
Colin, I understand what you said. It's, you know, available the entire time of the year. And I hate it the entire time of the year. And I simply just hate it more and people hype it up more.
Well...
Why hate something when you can love something?
Because I don't like the taste of candy.
I like to, as Abed says in Community, I like to like things.
Yeah.
It's
like to not like things.
Well,
boom.
Too bad for you.
Mic drop. I win.
Don't actually drop the mic. There'll be feedback, so just pretend.
I don't know. For me, pumpkin spice, I actually like the taste of pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin spice frappa whatevers or whatever Starbucks christens them as, but I disagree with making everything pumpkin spice. I think that you can stick pumpkin spice for a few things, but don't turn it into everything. Like, if there is pumpkin spice vodka and hummus,
that
like, I think we have jumped the shark. I think we have jumped the shark when it comes to pumpkin spice.
Like, is that like bacon, where bacon in itself is good, but don't apply it to every single little, you know,
it's like
food
bacon,
entree?
It's like bacon chocolate. Like,
we shouldn't get started.
Or like bacon pancakes.
Let's not get started on this. We could talk for like a million years.
I advocate the anarchy. I advocate the anarchy of putting it on everything.
I think one thing that we can all agree on here is that the great pumpkin spice wars of 2014 have not been settled. They will continue until they become the Coke wars of the 1990s, and the Coke versus Pepsi wars is what I'm referencing, not cocaine.
I thought you were saying later.
No.
I don't think it's going to go that far.
Coke versus Pepsi, guys.
For all the drug references we have had in here, we do not condone that.
Not at all.
You heard it here, guys. Don't do drugs. Red Ribbon Week and all that stuff. So I will go ahead and say thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show, especially regarding pumpkin spice and drugs, belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill for Nathan Swift.
Stay cool, Riverside.
Stay cool. Good advice, even though it's getting colder. So everybody get frostbite and die. Stephania.
Eat pumpkin things.
Don't eat pumpkin things. Jake.
Come to the barn tonight. Wildcat. It'll be a fun show. See you there. I'll be spinning tunes.
Tonight.
Someone's actually doing a public service announcement. Thank you, Jake. Mm-hmm. Cody.
Make sure you study for midterms at Back to the Grind with a warm pumpkin spice latte.
Yes.
Whoa,
wow.
Perfect.
My mind was just blown by that segue there.
So conclusion.
That Cody wins all the points. Vincent, can you one-up him?
I was just... Damn it.
just say your piece.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Excellent.
Hike.
I agree. 100%. 115%. This has been the Newsroom. I have been Colin Markovich. I still am Colin Markovich. Thank you guys for listening, and have a nice morning.